Good morning. This is the California Report. I'm Scott Schaefer, in today for Rachel Miro. Well, it's becoming more clear what's at stake for California in the national debate over raising the debt ceiling. Among things likely to be hit hard in future federal budgets, California farm subsidies, defense spending, and quite likely the state's high-speed rail project. A final vote on that legislation is expected later today in the U.S. Senate. Governor Brown has vetoed legislation that would have made it illegal to pay petition gatherers for each signature they collect. Brown said it would have just driven up the cost of getting measures on the ballot, favoring wealthy special interest groups. Critics of the current system say it encourages fraud. Late last week, the governor signed a bill to change California's presidential primary from February back to June, where it used to be. A few years ago, California moved its primary up earlier in hopes of having a bigger role in choosing Republican and Democratic presidential nominees. But when it comes to presidential primaries, California, it seems, is no New Hampshire and never will be. I asked Jaime Regalado, director of the Pat Brown Institute at Cal State Los Angeles, to explain why California just hasn't been able to have more influence in presidential politics.
Had 20 or 22 other states not moved their primaries up, California would have been probably in a better position to be more influential. But it's almost back to square one. And, of course, in this era of fiscal uncertainty and virtually everybody looking to save a penny, at least for public consumption, the smart move was to move it back to where it was.
And it saves money because having that standalone election cost about $97, $98 million.
Horrible expense and no return.
Yeah. So is it just a matter of the calendar? Is it just that, we held it too late in the past? Or is there something else going on?
I think there are various things going on. One is, from a voter standpoint, voter fatigue. And that's been around for a long while. It's not just suddenly we have so many elections. It's been around for the last, 7 to 10 years. But I do think on the part of some, moving it back because it's a failed attempt. It was a noble attempt. It's going to save some money. For Democrats, it really doesn't matter this year at all because there is a non-competitive primary.
Well, let me ask you about that because presumably Barack Obama will not have a serious challenge from within his party. Mm-hmm. But what does that mean for the electorate? Who's going to come out to vote in June of 2012? And what might that mean for other things that are on the ballot at that
time?
It's
important. That is important because typically in the midterm elections and in the presidential primaries, where you don't have an incumbent president who was chosen by a majority of voters who voted in California 3 years ago, having a competitor, it does give people a reason not to vote who tend not to vote very often. We're talking about the irregular voters, which maybe can be said to be a third to half of any specific election. Of course, what that would do is worry some Democrats who are either running for an election anew or trying to retain their seat on the one hand, but also for ballot propositions.
So on the other hand, if interest groups, labor, or whoever want to put something on the ballot to protect pensions or reform Prop 13 or maybe even, do something like tax oil companies, they're going to wait till November then.
They'd rather wait till November. Republicans would rather see them so they can shoot them down in June, but it'll probably have to wait till November.
When this came up in the legislature, there was some resistance among a few Republicans. Mm-hmm. Why was that?
Well, some Republicans are going to be in new districts. Some are going to be very competitive with others, some with Democrats. Others are going to be in tough and would-be candidates who are not elected officials who feel that they would have a better chance if they were able to campaign alongside candidates running in the primary. Then they would get a boost out of having somebody visit them of national stature, going around to different communities, drumming up not only the vote for the presidential candidates, but also for themselves, and they're likely not to have that.
Because the nomination will be long sewed up.
The nomination will be long sewn up. It's a Democratic turf. Not a whole lot of Republicans, or maybe hardly any, are going to be spending significant dollars in a blue state like California when it's likely to be decided before then. So why spend the time here? It doesn't mean they won't be here. It just means they won't be here for long.
So I guess we should just get used to our irrelevance, at least in terms of presidential nominations.
I've been used to it for a long time,
Scott. All right. Jaime Regalado is the executive director of the Pat Brown Institute at Cal State Los Angeles. Thanks so much.
Good speaking with you.
Many students used to know who their new teacher would be come fall, but California's budget crisis has created a revolving door at many campuses. The California Report's education reporter Anna Tintakalis explains how the state's latest spending plan is adding to the problem before the school year begins.
August is when superintendents take stock of their teaching rosters. William Cobaugh heads the San Diego Unified School District. He says more names are being added to his roster every day.
That's very tricky. You have to juggle seniority, credentials, needs of the campus.
Cobaugh is in the process of bringing back nearly 300 laid-off teachers. Governor Jerry Brown's budget, approved last month, gives districts money to maintain the same staffing levels as the year before. Cobaugh handed out pink slips to 800 of his teachers earlier this summer based on dire budget projections. He says now the challenge is finding classroom space for each teacher. He says many teachers won't return to their old schools.
So it's not clean, it's not easy, and that's why it will take the better part of August to connect all of those different variables I just mentioned to you.
The uncertainty is not good for struggling schools that are trying to stabilize their teaching force. Not all districts are bringing back educators. Fresno Unified resisted the temptation because officials there fear more cuts. A new round of cuts could be triggered in the middle of the school year if the state's optimistic revenue projections fall short. Edgar Cabral is with the state's legislative analyst's office. He says districts are rehiring based on whether they feel confident in the governor's spending plan.
So they might have different reasons or different rationales for taking their approaches, and it might be very different in many cases.
In the case of Los Angeles Unified, district officials are bringing back more than 3,000 teachers and counselors. In Elk Grove Unified in Sacramento, close to 450 teachers have been rehired. For the California Report, I'm Anna Tintakalis.
That's the California Report for Tuesday, August 2nd, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Scott Schaefer. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by the James Irvine Foundation, expanding opportunity for the people of California and supporting the California Report since its premiere in 1995. The California Endowment, building healthy communities because that's where health happens. More information at calendow.org. And Chevron, investing in renewables, strengthening communities, and creating jobs. More information available at chevron.com.